baby.
Is that the Chicago Fire hat?
It's a Chicago Fire hat.
But they do the Chicago flag. Is that the colors normally?
So they reincorporated the Chicago flag, like each cut in the C.
Yeah.
It represents the neighborhoods.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
And the color, so they worked in the flag with the stars and whatnot.
I know. I'm
gonna perfectly get it wrong. Let me just say, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, cut me off.
I'm gonna get it wrong because the Chicago Fire Football Club is the only fucking sports team in Chicago I will ever support because I fucking love soccer.
Yeah.
And all the rest can fuck off. So if I get Chicago wrong, I'm sorry, Chicago. You got the Music Box. I love the Music Box. Greatest theater in the world. But the rest of everything can fuck off.
Here's the thing about me in Chicago. The actual place I enjoy. The sports team and the people.
It gets better. Yeah. It does grow on you.
I was just down there last weekend. I had a good time.
What?
Yeah, when my family went to see the Science Industry Museum and the Shedd Aquarium and went to the Riverwalk.
Oh, that Science Industry Museum really needs an update.
Yeah, it was shocking. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, it was like so cool. And so we took niece and nephew there, and it was like, oh, this is kind of garbage now. And they had a ball.
Yeah.
They had a ball. But,
it's not good.
And also, I do have I have an AEW hat that's got the Chicago flag on it, so I can't really judge, I guess.
Oh, you're right, you're right. No, I would totally move there, honestly. Like, I just told it to fuck off, but
yeah.
I would totally move
there. Yeah, no, we teach, as long as they know their sports teams suck. You know, like the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears and the Bulls and the Blackhawks. And
just go fuck off. Fuck them off.
They have a professional pickleball league down there.
Fuck them, too.
Well, I like pickleball, but either way. welcome to the newest episode of Bear in 3D. I'm your host, Matthew James Goodyear, and I hope you enjoyed all that talk about Chicago and stuff like that. But we're back for part two of...
We're back.
This is part two of 2024, the year in review so far. It kind of rhymed. It felt like it made sense, right?
It makes complete sense, and it's a very good halfway point, because we're in June
right now, at
the recording of this.
And we're like mid-June, too. Like yeah. We're in the thick of it.
End of June.
Well, okay, we're end of June, but I mean, like, we're not, like, it's not July yet.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
It's almost July.
I don't want it to be July, because July 2nd I have to go to the dentist, and I hit the dentist, so I'm just pushing. In my mind, it's actually June 10th.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
So, welcome everyone. If you haven't been here before, or listened before, it's a weird jumping on point, like episode 209 or whatever we are. But we are the Midwest Premier Drinking Movie Podcast. We're people with some average IQs, but above average livers. And I'm here with my friend, beloved member of the community, the world's foremost expert on the movie Night Beast, Bob McQueen.
You know what? Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. If this is your first introduction into me, then I'm sorry. But Matt is correct. I adore the movie Night Beast. It is it's one of the greatest low-budget sci-fi masterpieces of all time. J.J. Abrams' first movie, for those of you that don't know. He did some sound bullshit on there. And weird, uncomfortable sex scenes...
It's what I prefer in my life. Just weird,
a space alien that obliterates people. You know what? This episode's about Night Beast.
There we go.
We're just going on
a
night.
That is the benefit of having your own podcast. You can do what the fuck you want. and if you're hearing background noise, not that this is crazy, but we're on location again in one of our favorite places, the Dream Lab, around their patio.
So good. People, please come out to Dream Lab.
Love it.
It's just such a relaxing atmosphere. And I'm not paid. Like I haven't seen these dudes for such a long time, but like, it's such a welcoming. Just like sit back, relax, and it's in the new location.
Yes, across the street.
It's in the new location.
It's on Third and National, down at Walker's Point.
The fucking hookah flavors they've got are phenomenal.
So I didn't mention to you earlier because they just got their liquor license like 2 weeks ago, so they can serve like actual liquor now.
What?
So it's not a bar. I don't want people to say it's a bar. It is a coffee house, hangout. Hookah lounge.
Hangout is a perfect.
It's what it is. It's the hangout. Art's big here. But they have a little bit of everything. Also, you know, I don't know if you ever seen it. You know, I have a Dream Lab tattoo in my cap.
What? You got a Dream Lab tattoo.
On their fifth anniversary, they had a private party with I think it was like $40 you got a tattoo. They had a tattoo artist there. They were all like.
Now, did you get to choose what you wanted tattoo?
Like 10 different ones.
And you were like, I want the logo for this store.
I got the one that says caffeine and creativity with a coffee mug, which is like one of their logos.
It looks like a coffee mug on fire. I love
it. It's also splashing with fire also works. I like that. But so we are the Midwest Premier Drinking Podcast. So once again, we're drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, mostly because it's delicious, but it's also because it's the cheapest here. Guys, I got four Pabst for $12 here. That means they're $3 Pabst. The only that sucked when they moved from the old location to the new location, they used to have a special. There was $2.33 a Pabst, and they raised it to $3. How dare they? I mean, like, how dare they? Yeah. But yeah, he's like, but like that's his like little to the Milwaukee locals. Like, yeah, get a Pabst.
Yeah, you gotta get a Pappy's.
So what we were doing is, and also if you're asking before I get too far, where's the rest of the crew? They went on a team building whitewater rafting trip.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are they?
Where's Mike? Where's Paul? Where's Alex? I'm not. They're on a team building trip without me. They're like they forgot to bring me.
Well, I thought you sent them. I thought you said enough with your combative bullshit, and you sent them whitewater rafting.
So this is the thing. I incepted them. Like they think it's their own idea. I pulled the strings. I made it happen because I've also sent not one but three serial killers to hunt them out of there. And I feel like whoever makes it back will be stronger and better for it.
Is this the River Wild with Kevin Bacon?
First of all, my whole life's River Wild with Kevin Bacon. Like, the fact that that's a Meryl Streep movie is so bananas to me because it is the River Wild.
It's
Kevin
a fucking
Bacon.
Great movie,
oh,
isn't
great
it?
Movie. It's got the girl from it's got the kid.
Great double feature. River Wild, Hard Rain.
Oh, well, because I always loaded to Jurassic Park because it's got the same actress in there. But yeah, River Wild. No, okay. If we're doing it that way, we're doing boats. Okay, first of all, it's Deliverance, River Wild, and we do Hard Rain, but I was also saying we could do Without a Paddle, the Matthew Lillard classic with Seth Green, where they go canoeing.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But also, really just Deliverance and River Wild seems makes sense.
Yeah.
But then it's happening. So
Whitewater rafting team building.
Whatever. I mean, dude,
they're going to come back better, stronger together.
If this was a horror movie, and the cast of Better 3D, and I'll throw the regulars, Poppable, Tell Me Yourself, and Joe, and Dylan. Who's surviving the horror movie? I'm honest. Like, which ones? I got my two picks.
Mike, and Paul?
They're all surviving?
No. Are you saying out of those three?
Me, Molly, Allison, Matt, Mike, Paul. I'm going to throw you, Dylan,
I'm going to give it
Joe,
to Allison.
And I guess who else would probably be in the mix? Who's in here a lot? Kenny's in here quite a bit. But for me, it's Allison for sure.
Allison's for sure.
She's the final girl.
Yeah,
100%.
She's the final girl.
Paul is like the secondary character who shows up. He's like what's his face from Scream? Who pops up? We all got shot. You know, like. What's his name? Jimmy Kennedy.
Paul, no shade on you, buddy. I just think you're getting taken out.
No, like, he's the guy who should not survive, just does survive.
Yeah.
It's like Cabin in the Woods, but like, the stoner survives. Like that happens in horror sometimes. Where like the guy who should be the first dead, someone makes it to the end. That's Paul.
Yeah.
Like he should be dead day minimum.
Totally.
He should fall and hit himself on the head on a rock. Where, like the slasher gets
him. I'm definitely getting killed off.
You're gonna get killed off because I think you're not overthinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dylan gets killed off too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, he attacks it.
Yeah. Well, Allison, you're the final girl.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what? Allison, Molly. Let's give it to Allison and Molly.
Molly's a hero that's too brave.
Like, yep.
They try to save us. And, like, you know what it is. There's always that one person
who should be the winner. That's so good.
And, like, who's, like, been, like, kicking ass the whole freaking time. And the last second gets, like, killed. Makes it to, like, the final three.
Yep.
And that's Molly.
Keeps patching us up.
I'm the person who
pushes our guts back in.
Because, like, it's to get the audience to really feel for the group.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's our favorite character. He died? Yeah, he died.
Mm-hmm.
He died. They're horribly, actually.
Yeah, you're the death that makes it impactful.
I'm Drew Barrymore in the first... I want to say that more often in my life. So we're talking about some of the movies we've seen recently. I want to start the one in my brain, we just saw it, Brander Shark, Ghost...
Right here, fucking now.
I feel like before we get in the movie, if you don't know who Ghost is, I don't blame you, but also I blame you.
Yeah.
Like, they are, it's hard to, they're obviously a metal band, but they're more theatrical.
I don't know that I would call them metal. I think you're going to trigger a lot of
metal fans
right now. They're glam hard rock.
They're glam metal, how about that?
That
they're the same way that people consider Kiss metal. Like, they're not really, but, like, I don't know where to put you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the darkness, you know, like I don't know where to feel like
the
like,
darkness, yeah.
It's like cool. I was thinking when we were watching this thing, I was like, hey, I want to build a concert in my brain with like what bands goes with them, like what would that show look like? Because I've seen Ghost of Concert twice.
Yeah.
They don't have an opening act, they just play themselves.
Yeah.
Because like, who would open for them? It'd be Kiss, The Darkness, and Coheed and Cambria. I want those five guys, those bands
that would be,
seem like the bands that would make sense.
Get rid of Kiss and I'll go.
I don't want Kiss, but I feel like people would enjoy that. Like,
I don't want Kiss.
How would they come out and just perform a song?
How about if Kiss just never shows up again?
Either way, okay. Okay, we throw Kiss out and we put Alice Cooper instead.
Bingo.
Done.
Bingo. Like,
done.
Perfect.
Yeah. Shock rock, can we call that? Maybe?
Yeah.
Let's call that. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
You're right. I don't like Kiss either.
It's so theatrical yeah. that I just love it.
So they are this rock band that double as a religion. They're Satanists. They're also very funny. It's very tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
The way that Gwar is kind of tongue in cheek, like they go over the top.
Yeah. Yep.
Gwar also would fit in that realm. Like these bands that don't really that are like hard rock slash metal, but really were theater nerds at one point. Like that's what is happening here. So they've had this pretty rabid fan base, and originally from.
They're from, what is it, Sweden?
Sweden, right? Sweden or Finland.
How the fuck are we Ghost fans not knowing
most
this?
Positive Sweden.
Tobias Forge, yeah. The lead singer.
Sweden.
Yeah, I think he's Sweden.
Either way, they come, they do all these elaborate shows and like with great props, great special effects, and great music.
Oh yeah, it's fucking great.
I think they probably know the song of Mariana.
Mariana Cross.
Yeah, like that's the song that they most people just know.
It's my favorite Ghost song. Actually,
oh.
I don't usually have favorite songs.
Oh, mine's He Is.
He is fucking phenomenal.
Love
He is what converted me into a Ghost fan back in the day.
I just love that song. But there's so many good songs. Like, so they put out a movie this year. And I believe I told you guys first, because I saw like just literally just like on a thing like Ghosts have a movie, and I sent you guys like, yeah,
yeah.
I see this thing. After I knew that they were making a movie, I very personally tried not to learn anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I 100% thought we were going to see what I thought, like, just by where they were. I thought we were going to see, like, their kind of like a Rob Zombie thing where, hey, they're making a horror movie that's going to be kind of funny because that's who they are. And it's not what we got. I was
no.
not expecting a concert film.
I kind of was.
I
kind of was.
I thought we would see, like, performance in there. Like, I thought the movie's going to start with, like, them performing as ghosts. And then, like, I originally think it was so funny because they do a Scooby-Doo reference in it. I was expecting, like a Rob Zombie Scooby-Doo thing. Like, they perform. Concert's over, and then they get like shenanigans, like in a tour bus.
That's
what I kind of thought.
Like Spice World.
Exactly like Spice World. Yes.
Oh fuck.
Also, I would see Ghost with the Spice Girls. That's the one you should
oh,
like see.
Oh god,
second.
Matt, that's such a fucking great
ah,
show.
I would see that in a second.
But
so, that's all we got.
I kind of knew that's what we were gonna get.
Okay.
The reason why is like unlike you, I
didn't
that. I didn't listen to him for a month. Right, I didn't listen to him for a month because I listened to him quite a bit. I listened to a lot of music, so I'm not just putting myself in a ghost shell, right?
Yeah.
Or a ghost bubble, but I knew it was a concert. I knew there was gonna be bits that they did.
Yeah.
What I would say is, obviously, this movie is for ghost fans.
It's 100% for ghost
fans. But also for the ghost fans that follow like. The social media skits.
Yes.
Like, they do a ton of YouTube videos
mm-hmm.
where it's, like, Papa just doing stupid shit.
Who is the lead singer slash the head of this religion.
Yeah. Papa Emeritus the IV
yep.
currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're following along with Ghost, if you're a Ghost fan and you're following along with it, it really plays perfectly. Even though, like, I agree with you. Like, I would have preferred, like, a ghost adventure. Just
that's
like
what I thought we were getting, yeah.
A nonsensical, satanic ghost adventure.
Yeah!
That would have been so perfect, and there's definitely room for that in the future.
Yeah.
But I think with what they're trying to do, because maybe they wanted to take a break, because they were touring for a long time. For a long time. And just to capture a very good concert performance, and then break it up with stupid little YouTube skits.
That's
like
what they did.
It's perfect. But then they also set it up for the next step.
They had the narrative that the band put out. They went for that, which, you know, I'm off my grass words. I don't want to spoil for anyone who wants to see it, obviously. Because it's relatively new. It just came out. But I liked it so.
Actually, I think it's out of theaters now because it was very limited time.
It was like basically a fathom film of that. But also, like, I'm pretty sure within a week, I think I saw it next week you can buy it on VOD. So I think I think Ghost. If you are a Ghost fan who's listening to us, probably if you like me, you probably listen to the Ghost. I'm not spoiling you. You're gonna see it at some point. Like, go see it. You know, like, you'll find a way to see this thing.
Yep.
I think it's gonna be like on Prime or something. I thought I saw
something
like
that. Yeah.
Like after like, is it still in Europe? I believe playing.
Yep.
And I know. No, it's also playing at a some film festival in the United States this week. I saw it on their social media.
Oh yeah, it might be.
Like they're doing during film festivals like that. Yeah. Because they mentioned like they were not expecting. Supposedly that I didn't get too deep in it because I was reading like an article, but like these ticket sales for the two. Because it was just two nights. It was
supposed to be Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Thursday and Saturday, but it did so good.
Yeah, Friday.
That they, I could be wrong on this, but I want to say it was one showing on Thursday and one showing on Saturday.
Yeah.
But they expanded the showings on Thursday and Saturday, but then also included Friday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah. So what I understand is it did so well in ticket sales. There is a pitch of maybe like doing another run. Like something like that, or taking a film festival like that, like it's making money. Why not do that? You know.
Yeah.
I have with Clerks 3 because that was only supposed to be for like a weekend.
Yeah.
And they were to like sell it right that, but it did so well they ended up doing it for like a month long, or like events, like going like events and things like that, and then it came back and got at the end of the month. Just happens. But either way, great concert performance, great music.
Oh, it was so good.
And also, it's not crazy. Like the Eras Tour show did great. Like the movie did great.
Yeah.
Concert movies usually more of a thing. They pop every once in a while. Remember when Scorsese did the Rolling Stones one? I think it's like Chase the Light or something like that.
Yep.
I can't remember. Follow the Light. I remember watching. That was fine. Concert movies happen occasionally. I like the fact that this one had comedy between it. It had a through line through it. I like the fun at the very beginning with the QR code talking to us.
Yeah.
They do the shtick. There's an animated sequence in the movie.
Yeah.
They do a couple of things. Yeah, they do some fun stuff in there. Which is like, because also, we were talking about that's Cross at Mariana Cross is not their song. Like, it's like one of the things that's not on any of their albums, you know? Like, it's like, you know?
What?
That song is like not on any of their albums. It's like
Mariana Cross?
Yeah.
No, it totally. It's like one of their biggest hits.
No, I know, but it's like, it was, I don't believe it's on any of their LPs. It's like they're like a single. Originally.
No.
You can look it up. I can be wrong with this. But like, that's why it makes sense. It's always like, well, I guess like, you know, but I almost positive it was like a single they made before the first album, but either way.
Oh, no, you're right. It was on an EP. It was on the 7 Inches of Satanic Panic.
Yeah, yeah.
With Kiss the Go-Go.
Yes.
And I'm gonna jump the gun here. For those of you that do get to see it, they uncovered a lost song that was done by Papa Nile, and they play it throughout the credits. So please stick through the credits.
So good.
After the credits, there's a post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
But that new song that quote-unquote Papa Nile did was so good.
Yeah.
Like, it fits with that EP.
With it, yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Like overall, like, as a concert movie, as a Ghost fan, what I realized early on, it was, like, there's a moment right in the first, like, 10 minutes I realized, oh, this is just gonna be a concert movie. Like, I'm a little like, okay, I've seen a concert. But I hit a fucking ball.
Yeah.
I wish we'd, knowing, I feel like if maybe we, as a crowd there, should have got more into it. Like, we should have, we all should have stood and sang and had a good time. Like,
Because the crowd brought, they brought the red glow sticks.
I mean, people were having a good time. I was, me and Kenny were kind of singing the whole time.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be the guy singing along. Like, we're watching a movie.
The whole crowd was. It wasn't loud.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what was your overall, like, you had a graded...
I fucking love it.
I give it
5 stars.
Right?
Just because, like, look, I'm a Ghost fan. It was a way for me to see him in concert, because I know they're not touring right now.
You've never seen him in concert, right?
I've seen him twice.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to go to the one where Amon Amarth was opening for them last Summerfest, and I had to cancel because there was something going on. But, so it would have been my third time. But I've seen him in Milwaukee and Green Bay, and, for me, because I'm a Ghost fan, I'm a huge Ghost fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's an automatic 5, even though like, I'm with you, Matt. Like, there is room for that that nonsensical satanic
movie. I was expecting My House of Thousand Corpses, but funny. Like, I was expecting that.
That, and I think that's what it needs to be. Like, yeah. let's find out about, like, the ghost organization, right?
Let's find
out about the ghost church.
The band or the lead singer wrote the movie, and they'd be in the beginning of the movie, and then, like, either they perform it or they have actors perform it. Like, because they, obviously, they wear masks. You don't know what they look like. They could perform the music, and then they would have actors be them.
Yep.
That's what I kind of thought we were going to get. I don't know if it was good or bad. But I was like, oh, I'll enjoy this. But either way, I had a great time. And, like, I want people like, who are not ghost fans, who don't know ghosts, like, they're like me and Bob are saying we love it, but, like, we also like a lot of music. So, like, this is not, like, a type of music that we're like, oh, I'm not in this kind of music. This is for every, like, their music can be enjoyed by everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I very famously, in the group text before we went, told them how much I love the band Boston. like Boston is one of the greatest albums of all time. Fight me on it. But also, Ghost's second album, nah, the first album might be, like, also might be in my list of, like, 10 favorite albums of all time. Like I like a lot of different types of genres of music. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's a great thing with this band. Like, if you didn't know anything about them and just heard their music on the radio, a lot of people love them.
Yep.
They get their fandom because they're crazy and fun and do this kind of stuff. But it was such a good time. I had such a ball. I love the fact that I came right from work and I stuck out, like, so it looked like a metal show. I was wearing black or the ghost shirts. Like, it looks like a metal show. And I'm wearing a pink Hawaiian shirt. Like, Leo goes, you sit the fuck out. Like, I was like, oh, yep, that happened. Yeah, but so much fun.
Yeah.
So, we give our high endorsements.
Oh, high endorsement.
What is the next one you want to talk about?
The next movie I'm going to talk about, so if you paid attention to part one, you heard me talk about the Mystery Movie Monday at Marcus Theaters. Mystery Movie Monday, Marcus. So that's four M's in a row. And one of the movies I got a chance to see, I get really excited when I go to these mystery movies knowing that I'm going to see an R-rated movie.
Okay? Oh, it's always R?
Not always R, because if you're a listener from the first episode... summer camp, that pile of steaming fucking dog shit summer camp, was PG-13 or whatever the fuck it was.
Do we get full nudity from Kathy Bates in that movie? Did that happen?
No, I wish.
You can see it in Belch Schmidt.
Yep. I'm very aware.
You wore it on the DVD watch, man?
I wore it out. DVDs don't wear out. I wore it out.
Also, here's the thing. Not only is she naked then, and she's like 60 or whatever, we also see, like, an 80-year-old, like, Jack Nicholson. Like, it's shocking that her body held up better than his body. Like,
yeah.
Because he always, like, seemed to be, like, suave. Like how much,
he doesn't
how
fucking
much is a
care.
Suit caliber?
He doesn't care. He's just smoking cigars, yeah. Eating shit, on his boat, fucking babes. It's Jack Nicholson.
I mean, he's the life that we all want to have.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anyways, Marcus Movie Mystery Monday. I saw this movie... going into it, not knowing what I was going to see, again, from the first part of this, I had a beer, I had an edible, so I went in and I saw Babes, and
which I really want to see.
Babes is so fucking funny, and now let me preface it with saying also too, I like, as much as I fucking like dark comedy, I don't go out of my way for comedy, and Matt,
yeah, you don't, yeah.
I really don't,
yeah.
So. So had I saw this movie advertised, I would never have bought a ticket for it.
No.
But because it was only $5,
yeah.
And the rule is, get a beer, eat an edible, sit through the whole fucking movie.
I wanted you to add a third thing, like eat an elbow, drink a beer, and have a hot dog. Something like a third.
Oh,
like,
you got to have the hot dog. Because,
yeah.
You got to have the munchies,
yeah,
right?
I mean, are you eating like popcorn? Like, what is?
I fucking hate popcorn.
Always or just?
I hate popcorn. I will not eat popcorn.
Okay.
Oh no, fuck that.
Okay.
It gets in your teeth. Fuck off.
I love popcorn, but like, so, because you're like me, we see a lot of movies, and we have for a long time. I go through cycles. I would say there was a good chunk of like 5 years where we only ate popcorn.
Ugh.
Just because that's what my family grew up doing, right? And then there was a part where I was like, no, I'm all about those pretzel bites. I'm all about the pretzel bites. Pretzel bites?
Pretzel bites used to be so good, but that cheese is so fucking terrible.
It's gotten worse. It was pretzel bites and snow caps. I love
snow caps. Are great.
So I did that for a while, and then they start expanding to like food.
Yeah.
So like I would get like the burgers like that, and then I go back to popcorn. Right now I'm in like a run of like hot dogs and fucking Red Vines. Like that's why I'm like, I'll take a soda, two hot dogs and a Red Vine. I'm a grown adult. I know it's expensive. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like I this is what I want to eat when I'm at a movie theater. Yeah.
The hot dog is so simple and it delivers.
Well, it came like because they had the $5 Tuesdays, where it's not $5, it's $6 now. And they used to, have, for the longest time, it used to be $5 Tuesday, free popcorn, and they had like a candy for $1.50, but they had $2 hot dogs. So I was like, well, $2 hot dogs? I'm seeing a $5 movie. I will take 3 hot dogs, please. I was like, oh, man. I really like kind of opened my eyes, like, yeah, I should be eating a hot dog. Because it's aluminum foil, I can let it sit, I undo it, it's still good.
Yep.
Well, you're seeing Babes, which is the girl from...
So, Ilona Glazer. So, I... forgive me, audience. Forgive me, audience. I've never seen or interacted with Ilona Glazer.
What's the name of her show?
I don't know.
Broad City. Fucking great. Well, maybe the last great Comedy Central show. There's like two... So, like, they basically had Inside Amy Schumer, and they had Broad City and Detroiters at the same time. And then now they just, rerun, like, Tosh. I don't think they make stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, the last, like, thing where people are like, you should watch that. It's great. You can watch it. Yeah. Her and her partner do these amazing, funny things. It's like a female version of, like, Workaholics. Like, that's
okay.
It's the best way to describe it. Like, that kind of
humor. Sure, sure.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no. So,
Ilona Glazer's great.
Though. So, Ilona Glazer, she's got her friend, Michelle Buteau, who plays Dawn. She plays Eden. And, like, the dynamic between the two of them is so perfect. Like, I fully believe that they're lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Just how fucking great they played off each other. What I would say going into this movie without having known anything about it is it tells you everything about pregnancy that no one tells you about pregnancy. Okay? Like, I don't have kids. I'm no longer married. I'm never going to have a kid. But... I learned a lot from this movie.
So it's so funny you say that because we have a special guest. Bring him out. You are the I brought like your illegitimate son that you're not found out right now. I'm Maury Povich, and your son is right here. He's 7 years old.
Maury Povich.
No, he brings out like it's like we're doing the DNA test right now to find out if that skank you had sex with in that Racine bathroom. Because I was a bar, but no, it's Racine. They're all bathrooms.
They're all bathrooms. Yep, they're all bathrooms. So yeah, so. Right away in the beginning, what set the mood for me, where I knew, there was two moments where I knew I was in for a great time, was when Michelle Buteau, because she's pregnant from the start, and her water breaks,
gross.
And they still decide to go out to dinner, to
That's
brunch.
That's funny.
They still decide to go out to brunch because she's really fucking hungry,
yeah.
And she's going into labor while they're eating brunch, and she's actually like, almost giving birth on the way out of the restaurant.
That's funny.
And so she's giving birth. And again, this is right in the beginning. When she's giving birth, so it's very normal, and I'm not shaming any mom that's ever given birth, because nobody...
Mom is definitely shaming all moms out there.
No, nobody ever talks about it, is that when women are giving birth... They happen to shit.
No, they should have. Like, it's like 90%
so,
of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, so this movie really puts it in your face where...
Do I see a woman shit on the camera?
No, it's the line. Okay. It's the line. So she's... Michelle Buteau's giving birth, and Ilona Glazer is like, oh my God, that smells awful. And she's like, what, did I shit on my baby? She's like, no, it's more like you babied on your shit. And I was... done for. Oh, I was done for. It was hilarious. So, not only that, but then there... So, Ilona Glazer meets this guy. So, she's... Her friend is in the hospital with her husband. They just gave birth. Wants sushi. So, she goes and spends $500 on this expensive New York sushi. She's got the sushi. She's coming back. She can't wake up the family. And the nurse kicks her out because she's not family.
Gotcha.
So she meets this hot dude on the subway.
As you do.
They have a one-night stand. They eat the sushi. They have a one-night stand.
That's a betrayal. That's sushi for someone else.
And and she gets pregnant.
Oh, okay.
But then he dies.
Okay.
He dies off-screen. Like, it's kind of...
They fridged her?
It's kind of hilarious.
Him, yeah.
It's kind of hilarious how he dies. But so she becomes pregnant. And so it becomes now this story between these two women. Like, Ilona Glazer she's like, I need some guidance, I need my friend. But her friend has her family.
Yeah.
She's like, I need some boundaries.
Okay.
So some of that becomes stereotypical, but it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny how Ilona Glazer just delivers everything, because she's so fucking dry, and I just love her. And,
Do you think the listeners are hearing the people have a, like, clapping over there. I don't know what's going on.
Clapping at us.
Oh, is that what's happening?
They're clapping at us.
Okay.
So the last thing I will say, this the second moment where I knew this movie was in for a good time is when Alana Glazer, she's pregnant, she goes to the clinic, and she's asking her friend, like, do I have this baby? No, you don't. You have an abortion. And there's an abortion joke in there. I saw a boomer couple walk out at the abortion joke, and I was just like, all right, that's it. I know this movie is for me. So it's, guys, please see this movie. Like, I am not, like I told Matt, and Matt's already confirmed it here, I do not go out of my way for comedies.
No, you don't.
I never would have seen this movie. I never would have paid for this movie knowing what it was.
I think you would like more comedies if you went out.
I probably would.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt, I can guarantee you I would. But this movie, I didn't know what it was, and it was fucking hilarious.
So I was supposed to see this movie the night I saw Fall Guy and I saw TV Glow, and like I missed like calculated like what time it starts, and I realized. So there was a thought where I could have watched Civil War, which I had not seen.
Ugh.
That I have had such violent. I'm gonna wait till this car.
Yeah.
Lose weight. Had such the reviews that my friends of mine that I've all respected have given me like such this is a pile of shit. This movie's amazing, and like sometimes I'll get a review for like a friend of mine and be like, I don't want to say they're not dumb or whatever. Like I just don't feel like their movie IQ is that high. Like, oh, the movie's amazing. Okay, you're not the guy. But these are people who I respect. Like, oh, I know they once, and it's been like people are like it's the worst. And people like Chris Pratt, it's amazing, and they both. So like, and I love Alex. But either way, I either had to see that movie and then go see Babes. I was like, I'm not seeing it. It was like, I had to work tomorrow, so I didn't do that. But I wanted to see Babes because I believe it's like a 90% Rotten, like a 93% Rotten Tomatoes.
It's so good. It's so funny.
Yeah, I said, okay. Well, here I'm gonna go to mine. You guys brought up like three times. I saw Fall Guy.
Fall Guy, you brought it up three times. You didn't even bring it up once. This is the first time you're speaking of it.
I just said it like 30 seconds ago. But, so this is a movie that I had genuine expectation for. Like, okay, I don't love the popcorn flicks that much, but like, I love Emily Blunt. Like, I think she's talented, I think she's funny, I think she's beautiful. Everything about Emily Blunt's great, right? I like Ryan Gosling, especially after last time we saw Barbie. Like, and things he's done. Like, people are like, oh, he's a very funny guy. Did you see Barbie? Yes, but frankly, you knew he's funny if you ever saw the SNL skit Papyrus. If you haven't, maybe you were to watch it after we're done. It might be one of the best digital shorts they've done in the last 15 years. Like it's so funny, and it's, like, so you. Like, the fact that you're not responding. Have you ever seen this?
No.
This is... How about this? It shits on Avatar. We'll go from there, okay?
I mean, that's really easy to do.
Not this way. This is, like, a whole new brand. Like, you gotta watch it. So you're gonna watch it. But either way, I like him. I like the director for his name, but he did Deadpool, and he did Bullet Train. And we got Dude Whitson in it. We've got Aaron Taylor, Quicksilver.
Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Aaron Taylor Johnson's in it. And I forget her name, but she was from Ted Lasso. She played, she was like the boss. She's in it. Just full of good actors and actresses.
Hannah Waddingham.
An amazing soundtrack.
Emily Blunt.
And the director's reason to think the director.
David Leitch,
yes. He was a stunt guy before he became a director. And a stunt coordinator. Like he is this level other two stuntmen. And the whole idea is kind of loosely based on.
Oh, he did Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, this guy does great shit. So, and also, like, the Fall Guy TV show is basically a guy who was a stuntman who would, like, double. Like, in the show, it was supposed to be like he would double as people, like, be like their double, like, and, like, take risks for them. I don't know if you ever seen the original Fall Guy TV show.
So, fun fact.
Yeah?
Fun fact. On my senior page in high school, because at the school I went to, you could create your own senior page.
Yeah.
I thanked Lee Majors on my senior page because I grew up watching The Fall Guy.
So here's the thing. I'm aware of The Fall Guy. I've never watched it. But that's the gist of it, right? Like, it's like, he's like half, like, stuntman, half secret agent, basically, right?
It's basically because he's a stuntman with these abilities to put himself in danger.
Yeah.
He can fucking solve a crime or some shit.
Yeah, which is fine. I like that. So, like, it's not, they don't follow that plot. But the idea is basically he is
Logan Paul, that's right. Logan Paul's in there from WWE.
Yes, he is.
And whatever YouTube bullshit he does.
It's fine. He's a WWE guy. It's fine. So it's one of these movies where, like, the parts are better than the sum. Because I got done watching, like, it's fine, it was fun, but I was really hoping for better. There's a ton of Miami Vice references in it. The soundtrack is next level, like, great, like, needle drop, for, like, because they're dumb, like, he's playing a dumb
A meathead.
He's a meathead, and, like, she's, like, this, and it's, like, tied up in, like, the, like, it's a lot of, like, inside baseball movie stuff. Like, people, like, doing horrible, murderous things to make a movie happen. Like, sure. It's, like, they're acting like this thing, like, and him, like, not going to cops and just doing stuff like that. An extensive drug scene. It's a very fun movie, and it's very funny, and it's about, like, just, when I got done, I just didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel, like, bad.
Really?
I didn't hate it. Like, if I had to grade it, it's, like, a B minus, you know? I'm glad it's fine I saw it, but, like, I had genuine expectations for it.
Okay.
Mostly because I like the director, and I really thought he was going to pull this off. I really thought this is going to be the movie that's going to get me out of my
Because I'll be perfectly honest with you. Like, I saw the trailer so often, because I go to the movies a lot. Yeah. And I saw the trailer so often that it didn't look like anything I wanted to see. And even though I grew up on the Fall Guy.
I really wanted to see it because I just thought, like, I just knew, like I hold this. It's like when you go to a restaurant because you, like, love the chefs. Like, I love the people making this movie.
I hate the chefs. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, like, I would like.
Fuck. There's a lot of funny. Chef is gonna come after me now.
Yeah, you're gonna die. So, I mean, I don't want to. I'm not gonna shit on it because it's definitely not a bad movie. It's definitely a perfectly serviceable popcorn movie, and it has a lot of, like, they do a lot of action sequences.
I think it was the first movie that really kicked off, like, the summer of just, like, fuck, what are we doing?
Yeah, people are like, this is what's going on, like. The funny thing is the two movies that are sick is because Dune came out like, oh my god, like, this movie, and it was just bad thing, and then we had, and the point where people really were like, there's been no successes at all, and the two that just happened post Fall Guy were Bad Boys, which did great, and then Inside Out 2, which did great. Like, those are two, like, of all the movies you thought would do well this summer, those are not the two I thought would see.
You are completely missing out on Godzilla X Kong the New Empire.
It didn't do that great.
You're fucking full of shit. It almost did $600 million domestically.
I'm gonna look it up later. I don't know if that's true or not. Really?
It's fucking true.
Okay. But either way, Fall Guy.
You're a monster.
Yes, I am a monster. I'm gonna jump in one that we both did. Well, okay, I want you to present it, but we both saw several flops. Let's talk about Furiosa.
Furiosa. Holy fuck! What a great movie.
Great fucking movie.
What a fucking great movie. So, one of the things I loved about Furiosa is I went into it. I remember seeing Fury Road, and I think it was when Age of Ultron came out, right?
And around that time, right?
It was like a month later or whatever. Yeah. And I had soured with Age of Ultron, and I was complaining about it. And
you souring things and complaining—that's so out of character. What are you talking? What?
Who does that? Not Bob. And then I saw Fury Road, and I was fucking blown away. I said, "What the
best
fuck?"
Best practical effects. Ever, right?
I think I'm still convinced to this day that George Miller actually killed people.
Oh, yeah.
Making that movie.
They're buried in the desert out there in Australia.
So when I went into Fury...
Well, actually, it was shot in Africa.
Fuck, yes. Yeah. Tunisia, yeah. Maybe? No. I think I got that wrong. That's Star Wars. Star Wars was shot in Tunisia. But no, you're right. So, because they had a lot of flooding in Australia. Yeah. It destroyed a lot of set and set them back like a couple years. Yeah. Anyways... Furiosa. So when I went into it, just like everybody else, I went into it thinking, like, fuck yeah, Fury Road. And from the get go, George Miller, Master George Miller, completely changes the tone. He completely changes the tone. So he takes your expectations and he throws them out the window.
Out the window.
But he retools them. It's, oh my god, Furiosa is so fucking good.
Some people, if you watch the Mad Max saga, the whole thing, no two movies are remotely alike.
No.
At all.
They're completely different.
Like Road Warrior to Mad Max, like, one is almost like a zombie film to one point, and one is like this intense survival film.
Yeah.
And then Thunderdome is this theatrical, almost like kid friendly movie. Like, with, like, it's so weird. And Fury Road is something. Is a music video on steroids. I don't know what the hell that even is.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a silent film with the music on top. There's hardly any dialogue in it.
Exactly.
And the one thing I was shocked by, and I've more distance I get from it, is one thing I love so much about Fury Road is it's all practical.
Yes. Yep.
Fury Road has a ton of CG in it.
Not as much as you think, because
in a strange way, like all the car stuff, all the things you want are practical. He decided just to paint the sky for no apparent reason. Like he does a lot of this,
because Furiosa is like the transition from the apocalyptic world.
I get why he's doing it. I feel the artistic reason. He just threw me for a loop. I was like, oh, okay. Because also I saw, did you see 3,000 Years of Longing, his movie he did between these movies?
No.
That movie is all that. It's all this like kind of like magical CG that's kind of like, it's because it's supposed to be told as a, it's really someone telling a story that's supposed to be like a bedtime story, but it's actually, or like a fairy tale, but it happens in real life. So it's meant to look weirdly, like, not real.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, darn, I liked it. It just threw me off. It was like, I liked it more since then. I was like, oh, okay. Because, like, there's that great scene where the first scene they're doing the rig run.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some crazy, like, stunts happening. And for no apparent reason, the sky's red. Like, it doesn't need to be red. He just does it. But I get artistically why. Like, it made sense for his choice. I get it. But that really threw him a lot. Fear Road's happening right down the street.
It's right down the street.
But I agree with you. I like this movie so much. But at the same time, if I'm ranking all the Mad Max, for me, it's Road Warrior, Fear Road, they flip back and forth. It's like, I say right now it's a Fear Road, but like a month from now I might be Road Warrior. And then probably just because those are my 1-2, I gotta see it again, but I love Thunderdome in a healthy amount of way. Then Furiosa, then obviously the original Mad Max. There's some people who love the original Mad Max, and I do too.
I fucking love the original Mad Max.
And if you want to say that's your favorite, I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying, like, compared to the other ones, I just feel like, just because these restrictions. But I'm saying, like, all these movies are A movies.
Exactly.
They're all A movies.
Yeah. Like, you're going into an A movie. You're getting an A movie.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, and, like, I'm not taking away anything because it's super enjoyable. I just think Thunderdome is the weakest one because,
it's
like...
I know I'm the weird one.
The first half is so good.
Yeah.
The second half gets really weird. But it's also George Miller, you know, he had kids and he was experimenting.
He's so weird with his movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Babe. Yeah, I was like, if you don't know George Miller, he's famous from having three huge franchises. Mad Max, Babe, and Happy Feet. That's one of the movies that he did the Invisible Man, right? The one with Chevy Chase, right?
No, that's John Carpenter. Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
That's John Carpenter. But he's had a few movies in between there that are not.
Yeah, because he was focusing on making movies for his kids.
Yeah, but he does these weird movies every once in a while. And I like your... So, some of the things we like. I love Anna Taylor-Joy. But let's be honest here. Maybe not the actual star of the show. It's Hemsworth as Dementor.
Chris Hemsworth is fucking amazing. Dementis. He is fucking amazing in that movie.
She doesn't have a lot of dialogue. I don't think she's even on screen for the first 3 minutes. Right? The first 30 minutes, it's the younger version of her.
Yep.
And even then, she doesn't have a lot of dialogue. We saw Tom Hardy do the same thing with Fury Road.
Yep.
But, like, he's on screen probably 3 times as much as she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. They give a bunch of time for all the other characters, right? They give, like, all the other characters in the world. And different than all those other movies that are in the Mad Max, it's done by chapters.
Yep.
And I would think there's, like, for me, there's a couple chapters that are insanely great.
Yeah.
But, like, it's weird. I love Hemsworth.
So, what I thought about Hemsworth, if I'm looking at it from a WWE perspective,
okay,
is he's doing his best Seth Rollins interpretation.
A little bit, yeah.
Very theatrical, right?
Yeah.
Very nasally. But also, like, when you go back to Fury Road and Furiosa, and you're looking at how Charlize Theron complained, Tom Hardy complained, like, he showed up to set late all the time, and him and Charlize Theron were always at each other's throats because he was showing up set to late. And then Anya Taylor-Joy, she was complaining about
the harsh working conditions.
I don't know if it's an Australian thing, and if it is Australian, like, you got to Australia, you got to know America loves you. Like, we fucking love you. Everybody loves you. And Chris Hemsworth had a fucking blast making this movie. He's, like, one of the only actors that has come out and said, like, this is fucking great, let's do it. And then he has that one take shot Like, there's a scene where he's speaking.
Just both in one takes.
There's a scene where he's speaking. And George Miller is heavy on editing. He's heavy on editing. But in this movie, it changes it up.
100%.
It changes it up.
He's the king of, like, he's such a visual storyteller.
Yeah.
This movie has so many long takes. So many, like, especially when people are, just in such a way. That scene where they pick up these people, they start, suicide bombing. That scene from after they start blowing up, it's cut. They're on the ground. It's all one take following Dementis.
Yeah.
Like, they don't cut that whole time. So he runs and grabs her, trying to save her. It's so good.
And Chris Hemsworth, like you said, he just really stands out. And it's not to take anything away from Anya Taylor-Joy.
It's great.
We're fans of Anya Taylor-Joy here, okay?
I wish... So on Monday, I went to the Sematic. They do the movie Mondays hour, and they did Anya Taylor-Joy night. It was The Witch. It was Split. It was... What was it? Split, which... Super Mario. What was the fourth one? Other movie she got that she's... Oh, and The Last Night I Saw, which is, like, I love. I love it. I love Edgar Wright. I love that movie. But yeah, side note. Like, such a good time.
Oh, exactly. So... It's very tragic that this movie failed. I truly don't understand how this movie failed, how people didn't want to see this movie. And I don't get it, because
I think there's a fatigue of sequels and prequels. It just is. People are like, to the point where, like, people just don't want.
But we're not getting The Wasteland now.
I know.
Mad Max The Wasteland, we're not getting it now.
We're good. Okay, here's the thing. Could we still get it?
Of course.
Here's the thing. And I think this is going to happen. One, they love IP so much. I don't know if George Miller is. How old is George Miller?
I want to say 60s, 70s.
Yeah. I can see, like, 5 to 10 years now, I was like, hey, we should make this movie, right? Also, because other than this movie, they've all been financial success. Even Thunderdome. Massive financial success. Like, how long did it take? How long post Crystal Skull till we got the fifth Indiana Jones? Like, it can come back around. So I could see 10 years from now, or like 5 years from now, they start doing pre-production, because like they'll take a flyer on it.
Yeah.
And frankly, Fury Road had a lot of budgetary restrictions, and look the masterpiece he made. Like what he actually had, the two movies he didn't have any restrictions, Furiosa and Thunderdome.
Yep.
Which are probably the two weakest, maybe probably over the whole thing.
Sure.
When he did have financial restrictions, he makes fucking gold.
Right.
Like. Not that I don't like those movies. They're still A movies. They're still A movies. Like,
there's definitely still a market for Mad Max.
Yeah, I think
there 100% is.
How many bad Alien movies have they been made? And like, and one pops in it as well. Like, that's
fucking
good.
A.
Yeah, yeah.
Since Alien 3, yeah. it's been a downhill of bad Alien movies.
Okay, first of all.
Like, no.
We all love the fourth one. And we've had this argument before that I convinced you that it's better than 3 and it's a great movie and you love it.
Which one?
Resurrection, number 4.
You didn't convince me.
Oh, no, we have. I'm telling you, I have. Because I know for a fact, on this podcast, we've had this conversation at least 15 times. We've talked about this many times, how much I like the fourth one. And you're like, man, it's terrible. I'm like, no, you're wrong. I'm right. This is my one Kenny moment where I will not admit that I'm wrong on this one.
Okay.
But, no, I get what you're saying. There's been a ton, like, I hate all the Alien vs. Predator. Like, I like Prometheus. I understand that it's not an Alien movie.
It's a pile of shit.
First of all,
it's a pile of shit.
It's amazing.
It's a pile of shit.
It's fantastic. But, like, if you want to put it... The fact that they need to try to shore into the Alien... Like, it's a movie that gets worse because the sequel's so bad. Like, it had so much promise to be so fantastic. And they're fucking cowards. Like, hey, we need Xenomorphs because, like, we only had one in there for, like, maybe 10 seconds last time. And people are upset. We're like, no. That movie was phenomenal. Like, the basic concept. What if you met God and God hates you? I'm okay with that. I like the idea, like, that humanity is so self-righteous that they realize... And the idea is, like, her response to it. Like, if you realize you met your creator and, like, no, you were a mistake bastard thing that I'm trying to abort, and we hate you, and the fact you're so anxiety is upsetting, we're going to destroy you all, and then you said, fuck that, I'm going to take my ship and my robot, like, I'm going to go to their home planet and tell them...
Hot take.
Yeah?
Hot take. That's not what Aliens needs.
No. I'm saying that he made Prometheus because he wanted to make that movie, and, like,
how did... Go fucking make the movie outside of Aliens.
I'm saying that's what he should have done. I should have just done it without it, yes. Because because they wanted.
He gets a pass because he gave us Blade Runner.
He gets a pass for a lot of movies. This is what Ridley Scott.
I do love Ridley Scott.
He succeeds big and he fails big. Yeah. Like nothing in between. There's no like nah.
Yep.
He goes hard and I respect that. Like he's, I don't think he's I don't think usually he's trying to make movies for other people. He's making movies for himself, which I kind of respect.
Sure.
Not kind of, I do respect.
Yep. Like he's, Furiosa. Sorry.
So I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Please,
I
think please, like, people, go see it. It's still in theaters.
Here's the thing. It is very different. It is very operatic. More so than other. It's got deep thoughts and like it also like, not that I'm saying the same movie, but it has a weird thing to me that's different than all the other like. It has a weird Phantom Menace feel to it, because it's the first time they put like politics into something. Like there was always like the town or the ruler, but like the how there's different how like hey, you have this supply, I have this supply, you're this person, I put you in power. It has a very, which I feel, not that it's like the Phantom Menace, but it's the first like when I first time we saw the Phantom Menace, oh wait, what in Star Wars is happening? And the first time like a lot of the beginning of the movie is them like, because you need to know the exposition of why people are doing certain things and how they're doing it, why it works. It's like, oh wait, like society in Mad Max, like
yeah.
It felt weird to have society in Mad Max, you know. Even though Furo technically did have it, we didn't see it. We just saw like the chase in the society. So like, and also I don't know if you saw that, like, he originally intended to make Furiosa first and then Furo, and like he couldn't. So he's like, I'll make this one. Like, so he said very famously, like there were certain scenes in Furiosa and Furo that were supposed to be each other in the original script. I wonder what that would look like.
Yeah. Because
you want to shoot them at the same time. I mean, both release at the same, like shoot them at the same time, release them with your part, that kind of stuff like that. I wonder what that would look like. I bet it would have been like been both better.
It probably would.
Yeah.
It probably would. There would have been a better connection. Overall.
Because, like yeah, Fury doesn't feel like there's society in it, but that's his idea. It's like, hey, like, we're past Max and the anarchy. What does the new society look like? That's what he said. That was a story he was trying to tell with Fury, but like, we didn't really get that. It was like more just about, like,
yep,
an amazing fucking movie.
Amazing.
Amazing, but that's what I walk away from.
In fact, I think I'm going to go see Furiosa later.
There we go. So, that, yeah. So, but I like Furiosa. We've been talking all over the place. So, Louis, Furiosa, what do you got for me? What movie do you want to say?
You know what? I'm going to focus on one that, Matt, I'm honestly shocked you didn't see, because I know this movie is a Matt movie.
Is it Challengers? 100%
Challengers.
So, twice I was supposed to go, I'm not gonna shout them out, Molly, or Molly. I was supposed to go see it with someone, and then they bailed on me twice.
Molly?
Yeah.
Molly bailed on you twice. Wow.
No, Molly once, and someone else twice. That's the joke. Molly bailed on me once, and someone else bailed on me. So twice I was supposed to go see some people, and it didn't happen. And I was like, well, I'll wait. I'm gonna see it. I almost paid for it today. It's still, here's the thing, it keeps doing so well. It's still in theaters.
Yeah, because it's fucking good.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's honestly like I like sports movies. Okay, I do like.
I know you're such a weirdness to me sometimes. like I try to figure out what you like.
I like sports movies. So like one of my favorite sports movies, just on a side note, completely on a side note, is Miracle with Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
it's a fucking great movie. Great. Hockey movie. The Olympic.
Not enough great hockey.
U.S. Movies. Soviet, fucking great. Anyways, Challengers is one of the sexiest fucking movies I've ever seen. It's so bisexual, and just sweaty.
Who are the two boys in it? I know Zendaya's in it, but I don't know who the guys are at all.
Exactly. So, Mike Feist, I believe he plays Art Donaldson. Mike Feist is actually, he plays the photographer in Bike Riders.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he actually filmed that before Challengers, and then Josh O'Connor plays Patrick Zweig, and so. The story is, Art and Patrick are best friends.
Okay.
They're best friends, and they're super, super close.
Niger.
Wink, wink. Yeah. They're super close. Okay. They just
tennis. They're halfway gay.
They're exactly. Yeah. They just haven't made that step yet. Yeah. And then they meet Zendaya.
Is she a tennis player too, or she's a fan?
She's a tennis player. Okay. She's extremely competitive.
Okay.
So, and this is not a spoiler to say, but she has an injury and it fucks up her knee. And okay. She can't play anymore.
Okay.
She can't play at the top level. So, Art and Patrick basically compete for chicks.
Okay.
They room together. They fuck together. All
right.
They just do everything except for fucking love each other. So, they're like after Zendaya, right? They're after Zendaya.
I see this with Charlie. They basically have a three-way.
And Art's like, I'm gonna go after her. And, Tashi, and so he goes after Tashi, and it's sort of competition between the three of them, and she ends up marrying Art, and it's told, the movie's told non-sequential.
Oh, okay.
So you get like the flashback present, flashback present, and it builds to this fucking great climax. I won't say anything. I don't want to spoil it because Matt, you need to
see this
fucking movie. Yeah. The climax fucking delivers, dude.
So the only question about this movie is it a true sports movie or is it like a romantic sexy thriller like in a sports movie?
There's no thriller to it. So basically Zendaya, because she has to live through art.
Okay.
Right, she has to live through art, so she keeps pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and he keeps falling and falling and falling. He's losing his edge, right?
Oh.
He gets injured. But you have Patrick, who's fucking homeless. He's living out of his van. And so she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to book you in this bullshit country club tournament. He's like, I'm one of the top in the world. Like, what am I doing this for you? She's like, you need to get some wins under your belt so you can go back out there and do it at top level. So then it becomes Art versus Patrick.
Oh, okay.
And Zendaya's in the middle because all she cares about is the game.
Okay.
She cares about the game, not the relationship game.
She cares about the game.
The game. All right. The
so she
sports
wants them
game.
To be, okay.
And so, like, during this tournament, because it's told non-sequential, you get their past, present, and future. Or not future, but you get their past and present. They're competing for her all over again in this country club tournament.
Okay.
And Art is married to her. They have a family, they have a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so fucking good.
All right, I'll check this one out.
Excuse me, I'm very sorry to cough.
Heard the cinematography's great.
Dude, it's so fucking off the hook because, like, it's just... It gets a little long in the third act.
Okay.
I think there could have been some shaved off, but that finale
just
fucking delivers. Dude, it is so fucking sexy. Like, the dudes are sitting there with their shirts off, just sweat dribbling down their chiseled bodies. Zendaya just, like, crawling on top of them, just being fucking sexy. And all you want is for them to be a throuple.
Yeah.
To win together. Like, I need a sequel. I need that sequel. I need that sequel. But, like, it's handled so well. Like, one of my friends had told me that, and I think he's very correct in this, we don't get adult movies like this anymore. And, like, even though... Like, I'm older than the actors, right? Even though I'm looking at it like I'm older than the actors, like, it's still handled like they're so mature.
Okay.
And they're... Fucking please see this. Like, Luca Guadagnino, I probably butchered his name. Luca Guadagnino,
mm-hmm.
whatever his name is, who directed your favorite Dakota Fanning movie, the Suspiria remake.
This is Dakota Johnson, not Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Johnson, I'm sorry. Too many Dakotas.
We
have two Dakotas, south and north and south. Like, why can't we just unite them to ultimate Dakota?
Do I have to watch the Suspiria remake again? I think we just for. I did not care for it that much.
It's fucking good.
Okay.
It's good. Tilda Swinton.
That's the real song.
Yep. But Luca, like, one of the movies that you saw last year, Bones and All.
Wait, he did that?
He did that.
Love
he did
Bones.
Call Me by Your Name.
I love Call Me
so
by Your Name.
He could have had hot Timothy Chalamet in this movie. He didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't. He had
Bones and All was great.
So look, Challengers.
You made my top 10 list. Yeah.
It's fucking good.
Did you ever see Bones and All?
No.
I told you. I said it was like, was anyone who get like they feel like they made a movie for you.
I know I need to
like
see it.
Like a gross
I know I need to
body
see it.
Horror movie mixed with a straight up period piece romance. Because
they're cannibals, right?
Yeah, but like it's not like choice. It's like you're bored with it. It's like a genetic thing.
That's
and,
amazing.
And they, like, yeah.
I'm gonna watch it.
It's
I'm gonna
so
watch
you,
it. Just like you need to watch Challengers.
It's like 80% like a straight up romance, and then like 20% of like, yeah, we're seeing shit. This is happening. I'm gonna eat someone. You're like, yeah, and it's also like I think it's in like the early 80s. Really good.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. All right.
No.
Challengers.
Everybody, it's so fucking good. Give it a shot. Give it a chance because it's a sweaty, sexy tennis racket whacking some balls.
Okay, we're talking about sports movies. One of my dark horse. Like I know it's not the greatest movie, but I love is Wimbledon, the other tennis movie.
Not Cool Runnings?
Well, it's not a tennis, it's a tennis movie. That is a Bobson movie. But yeah, have you seen Wimbledon with Kirsten Dunst? And
of course not.
What's his name?
I've seen Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst.
He's Vision. And
that's sports. That's cheerleaders.
Wait, what's his name? He's Vision and...
Master and Commander, Far Side of the World.
Yeah.
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany. You ever seen... you love it. It's a rom-com, but it's sports heavy. That is, he's a guy who knows a journeyman. You ever, won a big one? The high scale is, 16th in the ranking.
No,
and it's him retiring. He's an Englishman. He's playing his last Wimbledon. It's his last tournament. And she is the number one woman in the world, right? And she's young. He's old. They fucking, the inspiration of that, it leads him to, go to bigger and better things. And their relationship, Jon Favreau's in it. Your boy from The Mouth of Madness is in it in Jurassic Park.
Sam Neill.
It's not the greatest, but it's a lot of tennis involved, and it's fun. It's a fun, if you liked A Knight's Tale or Notting Hill, mix with a sports movie.
The only tennis movie that I saw prior to this, honestly, was Match Point. The Woody Allen movie. Yep.
There was the one with Battle of the Sexes. They redid that a couple years ago. I saw that one. Anyway,
what's your next one?
I'm trying to think. I don't know my list on me. I'll tell you a movie that disappointed me quite a bit was Argyle. Here, I'm gonna do two movies that disappointed, that had high promotion, and were okay. I'm gonna go two. One was Argyle because it has all of you. It's got John Cena. It's got Dua Lipa. It's got Bryce Dallas Clark. It's got what's his name? Sam. It's got Samuel Jackson, but it's got from Three Billboards Outside Missouri, and from The Fifth Element, and from 1,000 great movies. One of the best actors there is
Francis McDormand.
No, the guy character, the bad guy in Fifth Element.
Gary Oldman.
No.
Gary Oldman is the bad guy in Fifth Element.
Is it?
Zorg. He's Zorg.
I thought it was what's his name?
Listeners, you are listening to a movie podcast where your host, Matthew Grenier, does not know Gary Oldman
Sam
is the villain.
Sam Rockwell's the person I'm thinking of. Is it Gary Oldman in that?
Gary Oldman's the villain of Fifth Element.
Okay, well, Sam Rockwell's what I'm thinking of. But I was trying to think of, either way. He's one of the main characters. So the idea is basically this woman has written a bunch of books.
I'm still offended for the listeners.
All right, fine. I've had a motor here. I'm looking old. I was picturing. I was like, yeah, you're right. It's Gary Oldman. But Sam Rockwell is Dallas Clark. Bryce Dallas Clark plays a writer of spy novels. There's five of them out. And at some point, she's on a train trying to write her next one. A spy shows up who looks and her thing. She keeps doing these fantasies like what her books look in real life. And her main character looks like John Cena. She looks like Dua Lipa. It looks like an exaggerated version of it.
Wait, what does John Cena look like?
Big tough action star,
you can't see him.
Damn right, you can't see him. You can't see that motherfucker. But either way, that happens, and Sam Rockwell shows up like a homeless person, and it's kind of goofy, and says, "Hey, everything you've written has come true. You're writing these big plots," and the movie comes undone, and it's okay. The movie's okay. It's the action sequences are fine. The plot is dumb. It's kind of a comedy. I was really excited for it. This could be fun. I just feel like I was in a weird, depressed spot for the first half of the year.
Sure.
And I just wanted something to make me happy. And I kept getting movies. I thought, hey, this will make me happy. No, it's kind of sad because it's not that great. So Argyle is, I know a bunch of people, my mom liked it. Moms like this movie. That's what this movie's for. This movie's made for moms.
That's so sad because what happened with Matthew Vaughn, man?
Yeah.
Because he was a protege of Guy Ritchie, and Guy Ritchie obviously fell off.
This feels like a Guy Ritchie film a little bit. It feels like Matthew Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, and Matthew Vaughn came onto the scene with the amazing layer cake.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Which your host Mike Detterman fucking loves.
I
share a deep love for layer cake. And then he did First Class, and
Kingsman.
In the Kingsman, so he has this ability in him, and I've seen him online complaining about we didn't make you know, why is our movie getting panned? Like, he's sort of confused why Argyle's getting panned. I will tell you, I saw that trailer, like, maybe 80 times.
Yeah.
I hated every second of that trailer.
I had more faith in than you did. I was like, I think you'll pull this off. I think the trailer's, like, trying to, like, be tongue-in-cheek. And, I don't know, I love so many people in this movie. Like, there's so many good actors I like. Man, it was just, if it was worse, I would hate it. But it's not worse. It is a C movie. It's, like, literally, 2.5 stars.
Sure.
Like, I saw it on Apple for free. So, I was like, I didn't hate that. Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like, man, you had so much potential here. Yeah, man, Matthew Vaughn. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Because did he do all three of the Kingsmen or just the first?
The first two? There was a prequel, wasn't there?
Why do I feel like he did the first one and the prequel and not the second one?
I don't know.
Prequel is pretty fun.
Isn't there four of them? I don't know.
They were going to make a whole show up. Like, it was like they were like going to build a world, you know? Well, because all the, look at that, like the people, like Netflix bought the Kingsman, and it's Mark Millar.
Oh, Mark Millar.
Yeah, all of his stuff.
Yeah.
Like Kick-Ass, like they own the rights to all this stuff. So they're trying so hard to build like worlds out of these like a couple books that are in DC, you know?
Yeah.
Like they really want to do 100 bullets into something, they just can't figure out how to do it, you know? Like.
Well, that's Brian Azzarello. Yeah, Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso.
They're still trying to do that movie, but...
Sure.
Yeah, they've been trying to...
That's DC.
Yeah, you're right, it's DC. Either way, didn't love it. So here's the movie that kind of... I had high expectations and low. Here's when I had zero expectations. I was like, oh, it's not a good movie, but I like Roadhouse. The remake of Roadhouse. I had zero expectations going into it. Like, this is going to be...
No Swayze.
And I was like, this is going to be terrible. And I got there, I was like... It was all right. It's okay. I mean, it's great because Conor McGregor is so unhinged, walking around like this weird guy in this whole movie. Gyllenhaal's good in it. Like, I don't know how he stays so ripped. Like, he seems like a theater
exactly,
nerd, and he looks like all those movies, like from Southpaw.
Yeah.
It's like just cut, like just fucking cut.
Do you think he's like Statham, where he hires a Marine to keep working him out?
I don't know how he does it. You ever see Tom Holland talk about how we worked out there during Spider-Man Far From Home? Like, he's like, this is insane. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, when he's like, they work out like a bunch. He's like, I hate this. This is not...
Yeah.
I get the treadmill for 45 minutes. What you're doing is insane. Like,
yep.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's been for a while, so I don't have to go too much into it. If you are a fan of the original one, watch the original one. But, like, I would say if you've never seen the first one and you don't plan on it, watch it and you'll like it. It's a very enjoyable... Like, this one made me happy. If it didn't have the comparison of the original, and this was just, like, some, like, action summer, like, popcorn flick, I think more people liked it and have done better. It did crazy well on Prime. I always feel that's so weird, like, when it's, especially when it's, like, an IP where people have, like, a fandom for it. It's hard, like, oh, it did crazy numbers. Yeah, they were going to watch it anyway. Like, having a bad review doesn't stop you watching it free. On your subscription, I'm already paying for the subscription. It's free. I like Roadhouse. Let me watch it. That's how you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like if you had no Swayze, you never had the original, which is once again light years better.
Of
but
course.
I had, like I was expecting enough. I gotta see. I was expecting A. I gotta see. They basically are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But I went just different ones. So like yeah, but good, very good fight scenes. How about that? At the very least.
There you go.
There's some very good fight scenes. It's funny. There's an actress that I really like. She's in Shrinking, show on Apple that I like a lot quite a bit, and she's been in a lot of other stuff, and she's really good. Yeah, Roadhouse. Yes, Swayze's best. I know. Stop looking at me like that. Swayze's king. Nothing wrong. Nothing.
All right, I got two that are connected in a different way.
Okay.
In a different way, even though they're not connected, I'll explain.
All right.
So, the first one I'm going to talk about is Infested.
Okay.
Infested. It's directed by Sebastian Vanacek. Okay.
Why is the name
so funny? Don't know because he didn't direct much else.
Okay. All right.
So it's a French movie. It's available on Shudder. It's spider horror. Okay. It's spider horror. It is.
I don't like it, sex. I'm out.
It's a great time, and it's basically in a shithole French apartment complex where this dude is basically a bum living off. He's trying. His sister's trying to fix up the apartment that they inherited from their dead mom, and he loves his insects that he has. So he's got a small aquarium of insects in his hand,
sure.
in his room, and he comes upon this dealer in exotic insects and finds a spider that he buys off this dealer. So he drug dealer too.
Yeah.
So he takes the spider home.
You can't do one or the other.
No, yeah. Exactly. You can't. So I've never gone to a pet store and not getting some coke. Okay, I'm just saying that. But
have you ever been to the reptiles? There's a store in West Dallas that says closing, and it has a closing going to business sign for now 15 years, and they sell reptiles and knives. It's swords and knives and reptiles and insects. So half of it is like this, like what we're talking about. Half of it's just like knives and swords and stuff like that.
I've never been there.
I've been there multiple times.
That sounds amazing.
It's such a weird place. I don't even have a name. It's like it's one of those places where they just paint like reptiles sold here, knives sold here. I think they also sell like a smoke shop bag, like hookahs and pieces too.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, and also they have frisbee golf stuff. But they sell. Yeah, it's just like
an odd store.
It's like what happens when you get stoner. Like what do you like? I like snakes.
I like snakes. Swords. These swords are pretty cool, man.
I'm like, get high. Let's open a store about that.
Yep.
And for like, since I've been 20, it's been since going out of business, and it's never gone out of business.
Yeah.
Like they painted that on the window. They've never taken it out.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's actually a good hook.
Yeah.
That's a good hook. So yeah, infested. It's basically this guy buys this fucking super weird spider, puts it in a shoebox, because he deals in counterfeit shoes, and it chews its way out of the shoebox. And guess what? It fucking rapidly mutates.
Mutating shit, don't you?
It's fucking great. So it rapidly mutates.
Has terrariums. Why doesn't he just put it in the terrarium? Why in the shoebox?
Because he was looking for the perfect terrarium for it.
Feels like you should have that ahead of time. I'm not going to tell people. I mean, spider people are weird anyway, but like, you should really have that ahead of time.
And what's funny is he buys it in this little tiny like plastic container. So like if you go to the store and you buy like those little cherry tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those.
Yeah, hey, we're on the south side of Milwaukee. This
south side. And so he takes it out of there and puts it in the shoebox. And it immediately chews its way out of the shoebox. Not the plastic container. So why he did that, I don't know. But anyways, he's looking for the perfect terrarium. It gets out, and it starts fucking rapidly mutating, breeding all over. So then what happens is they're trying to get out. They notice, like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
The French police come in. Lock down the apartment complex. Nobody's allowed to leave. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Something's going on. We need to get the fuck out. You're like, no, you're not leaving. You're not allowed to leave. Well, the spiders don't just rapidly breed. When I said mutate, they get fucking huge.
There we go.
They get fucking huge. So they continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. They're running through the vents. They're fucking dousing everybody in webs and shit.
Does it look shitty or is it like...
That's fucking great.
The special effects look good?
The special effects are actually really good.
Okay, right.
So, like, spider horror is hard because you have sort of like shark horror, right?
Yeah.
So the first part I talked about shark horror, another French movie, Under Paris. Shark horror is hard because you're always going to be in the shadow of Jaws.
Yeah.
And spider horror is hard because you're always going to be in the shadow of arachnophobia. And so this one makes it different where it's sort of like almost like... alien-esque. You don't know where these spiders come from because it starts out in the Middle East. They come pouring out of the hole.
Okay.
And you're just like, oh, fuck. And when you get bit, you're done for. They breed in you.
Oh,
like,
gross.
They breed in you. And so,
There was a movie that came out last year that was straight to... You know, like, in October, Hulu just gets a bunch of horror movies. And just tons of them. And I watch them because they're not as bad as people are. And I can't remember the name of the movie. But basically, the idea is, like, this couple live in an apartment and, like, the spiders bite them and, like, lay their eggs in them. And they, like, want... Like, most of the people just, like, die and, like, it bursts out of them. Because she was pregnant. Like, she gives birth to a spider. She becomes a spider. Like, it's... I forget what it's... It could be, like, a rack. I don't know what it's called.
Anymore. Bite?
Bite, yeah. Bite. That's why I'm in flashbacks right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Spider.
Yeah.
You saw Bite, right? Like, yeah. I'm not far off. That's what the plot was, right?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the idea,
yeah.
Like, she, like, they... But, like, all the other people get bit, and they just explode with, like, spiders.
Yeah, yeah.
She becomes, like, a spider bomb somehow. That's the name of the comic book I'm running. Spider-Mom.
Yeah. Do it. So, yeah, Infested by Sebastian Vanacek or whatever. Great movie. I highly enjoyed it. I thought it was a good entry. Again, like I said, spider horror is hard because not many people can do it right. Some people do it. There was another movie that was released earlier this year that was called Sting, which is very much like... a little, if Ripley was a little girl, but she was friends with an alien that happened to be a spider.
Okay.
So spider horror, it's really hard to handle it seriously, because when it's handled comedically seriously, like Arachnophobia is, that's when it works the best.
Yeah. You love Alien Freaks, you know it.
I've never seen it, actually.
Did I ever tell you my my Arachnophobia story?
No.
So I'm a small child. Arachnophobia comes out. I don't know how old I am, but like, I'm young. My grandmother wants to take me to see Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Fuck yeah.
We all go see Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's sold out, because everyone knows how great this is.
Yeah.
Me, my grandma, and my brother. The movie starts playing, and it's fucking Arachnophobia. It's been the days where like people like didn't like to, like they let it run for a while. Like there's that opening scene, there's like giant spiders. Like they came in, like they apologized to us, they gave like free tickets like that. But I had a nightmare about that spider that day, because
yeah.
I was like,
hell yeah.
Then I haven't seen that movie like maybe 9 months though, because it is kind of funny. But in that very first scene, there's like those giant fucking spiders.
Yeah, man.
And like freaked me out a little bit. And then like my girl was like, okay, then we watched one of the best movies I've ever made. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yep.
I understand it's more legal restraint, but I feel now they can with like the mergers of kind of. In fact, that they've never made a sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's fucking crime.
But I'm saying, like, I respect, like why, like, I can't believe it's not happened.
Yeah.
I mean, because
it's so crazy to me that at one point in the 90s, Disney and Warner Brothers were willing to work to make that movie.
You forget, like, well, not even that, like, the characters they were using were at their all-time popularity low.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny, Mary Melodies, Looney Tunes, no one cares about it. Like, either like the original Disney characters, like I think, like doesn't if I'm wrong, if Who Framed Roger Rabbit comes out like right after Little Mermaid, or it was made before it, though, right?
I think it was made before it.
But it comes out like the year, like maybe 6 months after like this renaissance of Disney movies.
Yeah.
Right? At the all-time low of that, like we're past the Black Cauldron. Like we're at the all-time low of Disney making any animation.
Yep.
Like so, like using these plus, people forget that it also wasn't just those two studios. Like, Betty Boop's in there. There's non-Warner. They go to other studios. Like,
yeah.
Isn't some of the Hanna-Barbera characters in there? Like Droopy Dolls. Like Yogi. Not Yogi Bear, but there's like a few.
Might be the Fox.
The Fox and like the big Droopy Beagle.
Droopy might be in there.
Yeah, there's a few like non like that. Like, I know Yogi Bear was because it was still like pretty popular at the time.
Yeah.
But like that's crazy.
Oh yeah.
So yes. Sorry, you said you had a second movie. I went off my
the second movie. Now you're gonna wonder like, how is this related to Infested? And I'll explain. No. Last stop in Yuma County.
Okay.
Last stop in Yuma County. Last stop in Yuma County. I'm sorry. By Francis Galeppi. So it stars Jim Cummings, who I'm a big fan of. Jim Cummings, he wrote and directed The Wolf of Snow Hollow, which is famously known as Robert Forster's last movie.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote and directed Thunder Road, The Beta Test. He was uncredited in Halloween Kills as one of the cops in the flashback scene.
And The Wolf of Snow Hollow, I think, because that was the pandemic year.
Yep.
So when we did my top 10 list of the year, that was my number one.
Yeah.
Was that in the movie Promised Young Girl? Those were my one and two.
Yep.
Loved them both.
So he plays a knife salesman.
Okay.
And he ends up in bumfuck diner somewhere, nowhere,
a
right?
Knife salesman.
Yeah, a knife salesman in a bumfuck diner, right? And while he's there, he's trying to pitch this knife to the waitress.
Isn't that the beginning of Grave Robbers? Are we not in a diner pitching stuff? Isn't that how that started?
No. So it's in some Arizona rest stop, right?
Yeah.
And combined with a hotel. And at the same time, two bank robbers, which is, one of them is played by the amazing Richard Brake, who's well known for his Rob Zombie roles.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the third Firefly movie, which I know was not that great, but I really enjoy Richard Brake.
Okay.
He also played Doomhead in 31, the Rob Zombie movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, anyways, they play these bank robbers that also stop at this rest stop, and then it becomes this like neo-noir of like trying to get away with this pile of money as they hold up this rest stop and people get killed. It's just fucking great.
Okay.
It's so good. It flies under the radar. Obviously, like I said, I'm a big Jim Cummings fan, but it's just, it's like a pressure cooker. It just kind of builds and builds and builds until it just explodes.
Like a bunch of spiders coming out of the body?
Yeah, a bunch of spiders. Except there's no spiders in here.
No, you're saying they're, I'm trying to think how they're connected. I'm trying to figure this out.
The connection is Francis Galippi and Sebastian Vanacek are the two directors that are tapped to next direct their own Evil Dead movies.
Oh! There's two different Evil Dead movies?
There's two different Evil Dead movies coming out. So the last one was Evil Dead Rise,
which we both loved.
I fucking love Evil Dead Rise, and it gets better and better on each
review. I've seen it twice. We went together. I was with you and Kenny, right?
I think so, yeah.
Shocked.
Yep.
Shocked that it was going to be that good.
Yep.
Because you like the reboot, right? You're a big fan of the...
2013?
Yeah.
It's astonishing. It's so good.
I didn't give it another shot. I like it, but
You need to see the director's cut.
I just have such a love of... I just didn't feel I had, obviously it wasn't trying, but the same tone.
Yeah.
Almost I feel like, I wish they'd just not called it Evil Dead and just made a movie that was like that. Like, same way we were talking about, Don't Make Prometheus, the alien movie. That movie's really great, but, just make a cabin movie that's not Evil Dead, and just kind of work it, Obviously, there's certain things you can change. Because I just have such love. So this is what's weird for me.
Well, what I loved about it, though, Matt.
Yeah.
Just to interject real fast, what I loved about it is that it exists in the Evil Dead universe as a serious Evil Dead movie. Because they went into it knowing that you can't top the comedic delivery of Bruce Campbell. So let's turn it on its head and make it serious. And that's what I fucking loved about it.
I did like it, but I just loved the original so much.
Of course.
Yeah. And also, this is why I know I love it so much. It's I had probably seen bits and pieces of Evil Dead 2. But the first movie I watched of that trilogy was Army of Darkness. And I went back and watched 1 and 2.
Sure.
And I was like, these movies are fucking great. So yeah. I remember watching, on late night cable, I've seen bits of Evil Dead 2. But, yeah. But I love the... So, are they going to do, one in the different universes? Or
They haven't announced how they're going to do it. It's just both of these directors have both been tapped to direct an Evil Dead movie. So... I don't believe they're working together to make a movie co-directing. They're each going to do their own Evil Dead movie. Nobody knows if it's going to be a sequel to Evil Dead Rise because Evil Dead Rise starts with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And it starts with that awesome triangle cabin.
Yeah.
She's rising out of the water, which is actually the end of Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, it's the end of it. Yeah.
So no one knows if it's going to be a sequel to that. That's why I thought it would be a fun recommendation to recommend both of these because you get spider horror, you get neo noir,
and then you get the
in a diner with Jim Cummings and his weird comedic expressions, his cartoonish expressions. I went into these movies once I found out they were directing the next Evil Dead movies, wanting to see their style, and they each bring something that's definitely going to help enhance the Evil Dead universe.
Did you ever watch the Evil Dead, the show?
Yes.
I fucking loved it.
It's fucking phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. I mean, so that's why I was hesitant about Evil Rise. They already gave me what I wanted. I wish they'd get more seasons, but they ended in a way that was fine.
Yeah.
They did every season. They never knew they were going to pick up. Stars is weird.
Stars fucked them over.
Yeah. The ending of that third season, it's an okay place to end. But there was obviously more.
Yeah, there was two more seasons.
Yeah, I was hoping that we were gonna get a movie, like a sequel movie to wrap it up, whatever. But when Evil Dead Rise came, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. I was not expecting that,
Yeah.
So, I like quite a bit. I think that's kind of we're running out of time here, so I'm gonna just say two things real quick without doing hard reviews. If there's a movie called Destroy. Royal Neighbors. It stars Jonah Ray. If you like weird, dark, referential comedy, it's a horror movie, barely. If you like the Nerdist podcast, you might like it. It's a weird thing. But the one movie I really want to pitch on real quick that I like, that I don't even know how to review for because I don't know how to describe it, it's called The Hundred Beavers.
Oh, yeah.
It is... It's what... So this guy who wants to become, like, for reasons, I won't spoil it because it's so, the plot is so thin, he has to become, like, the best beaver trapper in the world to, like, do what he needs to do. And all the beavers are played by people in beaver suits, like mascot suits. And they play it straight. And it's like watching a Looney Tunes cartoon. It's slapstick comedy in black and white. It's basically a silent film. And it works perfectly. It's a short film. It's an hour and 22 minutes like that.
That's not bad.
It is, and it's hard for me to describe it, but like, if you like either like classic cartoons, silent films, or just weird avant-garde shit, watch 100 Beavers. I go, it's one of the weirdest movies, and it makes you feel good. I was depressed when I saw it. I felt great when I was done. Do you have any quick recommendation to read?
What I'll just say is avoid the movie Tarot at all costs.
Oh, I heard it's nothing but horrible.
It's one of the worst piles of shit I've ever seen. The jump scares don't even work.
Yeah, I heard
And then lastly, I promise this is the last.
Yeah.
Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire.
I've not seen it.
It's
I've seen everything.
Fucking phenomenal.
I gotta see it.
It's so good. It's just monster mash delivery,
okay.
And I love it. I love you, Adam Wingard.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Well, thank you for listening. If you want to follow us, you can subscribe, rate, and review on wherever you want to find us. If you do an Apple Podcast, we'll shout you out. Or you can follow the show on social medias. On Instagram, we are Better3D. On X, we're 3D Better. If you want to follow me, I'm Not That Maddie on Snapchat, X, and Instagram. Macri on Facebook. I'm no longer Not That Maddie on Snapchat because I changed it to
You're
my
not
Twitter.
Not That Maddie?
I'm Not That Mad on Instagram.
You're not? Not That Mad?
Yes. I changed it to my TikTok handle, which is Garlic Bread Baron. I'm Garlic Bread Baron on TikTok. And
oh, you do like your garlic bread.
Yeah, so those. And then that's it. And we're going to follow Bob on Letterboxd. How do we find you?
Just my name, Bob McQueen, on Letterboxd.
Which sounds made up, but it's actually real.
It's actually real.
Yeah, so real. Well, until next time, thanks for running, and bye.